Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It's KOL. I'm Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Hey, today's going to be a lot of fun, and not only on the show, but also tonight. We got a lot of baseball, and we've been talking a lot about the Cal Ripken Tournament, which is taking place here in our own backyard. And coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the 11-year-olds from Carbon will have a chance to win the Southern Utah Championship and move on to regionals. We don't know who they're going to play yet, but you will be able to listen to the live action right here on KOAL. Myself alongside Chris Winfrey will bring you the play-by-play call, and then you can also watch it at KOALITV.com. So we will talk a lot of baseball on the show, Legion Baseball in particular. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus is going to join us, and then a little bit later on in the show, we'll catch up with a good friend of mine, Steve Bortstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve is the host of First Sports, avid baseball fan slash pundit, loves it. So we're going to talk some baseball. The trade deadline is not that far off. Do you realize the All-Star break is 10 days away?
It's coming by fast. The season seems like it's flew by.
It definitely has, and you're starting to see teams separate from the pack. I think that's why so many people get into Major League Baseball around this time of the year, because you're starting to see teams just kind of break away, except in the AL East. I mean, that thing has been so fun all year long. The Yankees have come back down to earth. They've lost 6 out of their last 10 games, and right now, winning percentage-wise, just 2 points higher than Boston. Tampa Bay, they're right in the mix, 3 games back. Baltimore, 4.5 back, and Toronto, 5.5 back. So the Blue Jays have played good baseball as of late as well. Outside of that, I mean, the Central, it's tight at the top. The West, it's a one-pony race with the Astros in the American League. In the National League, the Nationals, they have that Division One. Might as well just book it. They're National League East champs. The Central, it hasn't been good baseball, but it is compelling. I mean, your Cincinnati Reds, who are in last place, are just 6.5 back of the Brewers. And to put this in perspective, if I would have told you at the trade deadline or at the All-Star break the Reds would be within 3 games of the Cubs, you would have had a smile from ear to ear.
I do now, yeah. Never would have thought that. Cincinnati's roster wasn't very good, but they've been competitive. They go in stretches. They'll win 5 or 6 in a row, and then they'll lose like 10 in a row.
And then you take a look at the West, and it's the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. It was the Rockies, but they have now lost 8 straight games.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, they're not playing good baseball right now at all. So as far as Major League Baseball goes, we're going to talk a lot of it today on the show as well. Scores today right now, the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks in the top of the 8th. The Cardinals are up 5-3, speaking of that Central Division and the West. The Cubbies are up on top of the Nats, 2-1. That's in the top of the 7th inning. Final scores from earlier today, Cleveland defeated Texas 5-1. The Tigers topped the Royals 7-3, and then the Astros continue to play lights-out baseball. They beat the A's 6-1. Did you see the way the Dodgers and the Angels game ended last night?
Yeah, that was something I haven't seen in a while.
It hasn't happened since 2010, if you missed it last night. It was a walk-off strikeout. That's what happened. Maben was at the plate. Baez was pitching for the Dodgers. Strike 3 in the bottom of the 9th inning, and it gets by Grandel. He then picks it up, throws it to first, sends it into the outfield, and Rivera ends up scoring from second. The Angels got the first walk-off victory off a strike since 2010. It's been a long time since that's happened. You just don't expect a game to end that way. But that's what's so interesting about baseball, because you have the defense, they control the game. And if the defense flubs, The offense can take advantage of it in an instance, and that's what happened in that game last night. Still to come tonight, as far as baseball goes, 5 o'clock, Twins at the Red Sox. The Pirates play host to the Rays. We get the Orioles at the Blue Jays. The Brewers will take on the Reds. Mets at Marlins. 6 o'clock hour, the Yankees travel to take on the White Sox. It's the Braves at the Padres at 7:10, and then the Dodgers and the Angels once again tonight, 8:07 start time. J.C. Ramirez is on the hill for the Angels, while Kershaw will take it for the Dodgers. Now, everyone has been paying attention to the NBA because of free agency, no doubt. Yesterday, we had this huge trade, which sends Chris Paul to the Houston Rockets. And again, the Clippers, they're back to being irrelevant in the NBA because I don't think Blake Griffin comes back. And they have had the rumors of dangling DeAndre Jordan. I think it's time for a complete rehaul. Gordon Hayward, we know he's going to meet with the Celtics. We know he's going to meet with the Heat. And he's going to give the Jazz the last chance to woo him. Gordon Hayward, does he have his decision made up, or do you think that these meetings over the next few days will actually be the deciding factor for him?
I think for any free agent, you already have your mind set on the destination that you want to go to, so you're just going there, you're going to listen to what they have to say. So I think his mind's made up, and I think it's Boston.
Now, Hayward did notify the Jazz that he would decline his player option. He will become a free agent. That was first reported today by Mark Stein of ESPN. As far as Hayward goes with his meetings, I think there's really only one other team the Jazz need to worry about, and that's Boston. I would not be concerned about the Miami Heat. I think that roster is too far gone at the moment. You want to go play with Hassan Whiteside? Why? You have Rudy Gobert locked up for years in the state of Utah. You want to go play with Goran Dragic? Why? You have a great backcourt mate in Rodney Hood. Like, the Jazz are set up. I can understand the jump to Boston. I don't view Miami as a legitimate landing spot for Hayward at this point.
No, you're further away from a championship in Miami than you are with the Jazz, so it doesn't make any sense to go to the Heat. No sense.
None. I really think it's down between the Jazz and the Celtics. And if the Jazz were to lose Gordon Hayward, what direction would the team have to go at that point?
You build around Rudy Gobert. That's your only chance.
See that, and I'm glad you brought that up because Jazz fans, and look, you're definitely going to take it. If you lose Hayward, you take a hit. Do not get me wrong. Huh. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter if you lose Hayward. But the Jazz are in a situation where they have a couple of other players that they can build around. Like, you look at some of the situations in the NBA. Look at the Clippers, for instance. If they now lose Blake Griffin, you are SOL, because there's no way you can build around DeAndre Jordan. This guy cannot, as far as offensive efficiency goes, outside of 5 feet, non-factor. You can't build around a guy like that. The Jazz have a couple of guys that I believe Rodney Hood is going to take a huge step forward this next season. The Jazz have options.
Yes, they do.
I don't think the Clippers have options.
Clippers don't.
So, while I still believe the Jazz are the favorites to re-up Hayward, if he was to leave, it's not as grim as the situation may appear because, like you said, you build around Rudy Gobert. They have a piece to build around.
Yeah, Rudy's the face of the franchise, and then Rodney Hood takes that next step, which if
Gordon I think he's going to.
Yeah, he's gonna be a big-time factor.
I love Rodney Hood. I'm a huge Rodney Hood guy. We got a break for just a moment. We'll take a look at the local sports front. And I got to remind you, if you need the results for the Cal Ripken League, head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com. Scores, results, and schedules all up right there. Coming up, Jeff Cincinnatus, head coach of the Helper American Legion baseball team. Plus, we'll talk with Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports on some Major League Baseball.
'Tis the season to get out and adventure. Getting outdoors to enjoy camping and boating requires a reliable truck to get you there. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they have the loan you need at a rate you want so you can pull all of your toys with ease this summer. With Desert View Federal Credit Union, the loan process is quick and simple. Stop by a branch today for a quick pre-approval, then tell the dealership you're financing through Desert View Federal Credit Union. Desert View Federal Credit Union, your first stop for summer adventure. Find them in Huntington and Farron. Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
In 1981, Drew Leroy opened the original 3,000-square-foot Food Ranch. Today, Food Ranch has grown to over 21,000 square feet, along with a full hot deli, bakery, meat shop, and racquetball court. But the area Drew is most proud of is the Spartan's Den. This is where the kids from Memory High can hang out and have lunch or just sit and talk. This just reinforces Drew's commitment to the families of Emory County. Food Ranch would like to thank you for your continued support for years to come.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Right around the corner, it's the 5th annual International Days Championship Golf Tournament at the Carbon Country Club. For the last 5 years, this tournament has built into a tradition that lasts pretty much all day through all 18 holes and holds close to 32 teams. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Nick Tatton of Price City, and he talked about the tradition.
It's a tradition. We can hardly keep up with it now, you know, and I think it's real important to thank some of the folks and the sponsors that have really made this worthwhile. You know, Coca-Cola, Castleview Hospital, and Bodeck are our primary sponsors. Sutherland's is a great big part of this. Parkdale Care Center's come on board this year. And so we have some great folks that have helped, in addition to all the businesses that are out on every hole.
With prizes at every tee box, each participant has extra incentive to participate in this tournament, which is $300 per team. And that cost includes green fees and carts.
It's really become that way, and for folks that haven't been a part of it, sometimes the spectacle of it's kind of fun just to come out and watch. We've even had people hanging around that aren't playing or stuff just to see what's going on.
Spots are open, but limited as we speak. Only one person with an 8 handicap or better is allowed per team. Other contests throughout the day will include the $3,000 putting contest, the $100,000 hole-in-one contest, and there will be other registration prizes. You can call the Pro Shop today to register, or if you need more information, contact Price City at 636-3184. Tuesday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman. Huntsman joined us to recap a recent travel the team had to Manti as they participated on a 7-on-7 camp.
We ended up in a different division than Emory did, so we did play a few of the smaller schools. We were mostly in with the 2As, but it was, you know, it was a good experience for our kids. A lot of learning there, a lot of growth, and some good football.
While Carbon finished 4-2, which was an improvement from last year, Huntsman continued by talking about some of the improvements he hopes to see his kids make throughout the summer.
You want to see them get stronger in the weight room. You want to see them run crisper routes. You want to see, you know, that competitive fire, but the summer's tough. You've got kids that are working, kids that you know, don't always want to get up at 6:30 in the morning, don't always want to be there, just things. And so you have to take the summer with a grain of salt.
Huntsman also noted the vast improvement of his junior quarterback, Noah Jones, who seems to get bigger and faster as the summer goes on.
Drops are a lot better, consistent passing. Our big thing is we got to throw on time, and there was a couple of times where he was a little late or he was a little early on throws, but for the most part, he was consistent and did a good job. He found his brother quite a bit, Sawyer Jones, at wide receiver for us, and if those two can click with each other, I mean, they're going to be a tough duel to overcome.
You can listen to this complete interview with Coach Huntsman by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com and clicking on the Drive Time Sports link. And finally, tonight on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Little League Baseball action will make its appearance, brought to you by Pine Top Medical. Over the past 3 days, teams from all over the state have been competing to win the Southern Division Championship and move on to regionals. The 11-year-olds for Carbon High School have yet to lose a game. You can get a complete list of the results and the upcoming schedules by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
At Arby's, we sat down with real customers to see what they think about our new pizza sliders. Okay, ma'am, how's that new pizza slider treating you?
Oh, it's amazing! It's everything I love about pizza on a sandwich. Thank you, Arby's!
You're welcome, beautiful lady. The new pizza slider with pepperoni, marinara, and melty provolone. Available now for just $1. Arby's, we have the pizza.
At participating Arby's for a limited time. Do you have a warranty on your vehicle and you're sick of waiting to get it into a shop to get the repairs done? Wait no more. Supreme Auto Repair will have your vehicle looked at within 2 hours in most cases. And they have factory-certified technicians that can perform any warranty work on your vehicle. Supreme will fix your vehicle when you want it done, even if you want it done today. No problem. So how would you like to never hear this again?
I'm sorry, but we will not be able to look at your car for 2 weeks.
Supreme Auto Repair in the Piccolo Auto Plaza. On First North, behind Smith's.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Time to talk some baseball here on the Coach's Corner. Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM KOAL. Haven't talked a lot of local baseball outside of the Cal Ripken Tournament, which, do not forget, tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on KOAL. Myself, alongside Chris Winfrey, we're going to bring you play-by-play coverage of the 11-year-old championship game out of the ball fields. I'm excited for it. Little League Baseball is fantastic. So is Legion Baseball. It's almost like watching all-star teams from separate counties go toe-to-toe throughout the summer as they try to fine-tune their game for the upcoming baseball season. Joining us right now to talk about the most recent two games, Dan, for the Helper American Legion squad, we have Coach Jeff Sensenharris. Coach, it's been a little while. You guys have been busy. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Let's start by talking about the most recent outing for you guys. It was a doubleheader sweep at the hands of Pleasant Grove. It actually was two very big games for your team. You guys were neck and neck with Pleasant Grove in the standings, and so it did benefit this team to play host to a doubleheader, yet offensively you guys struggled pretty heavily.
Yeah, we did. And like you said, it was a big game. I think both of us come in 5-1 in region, and you know, our league play anyway, and yeah, you can't lose games to anybody, especially at home, but especially a team that you're neck and neck at the top of the bracket with. And you know, we just didn't hit, like you mentioned. I thought we played fairly decent defense. I thought our pitching was pretty good. Give Pleasant Grove a lot of credit. They got big hits when they had guys on base, and just kind of the opposite with us. It seemed like we got a double or a triple when no one was on base and then just left them there and stranded a lot of guys during the two games. Got beat 4-1 and 6-1, and, you know, it's tough to win games when you only score one run, obviously, and no matter how great your pitching or defense is, you don't usually hold teams to no runs at this age level. But unfortunate for us, we come out on the losing end. You know, I did see some positive things, but, again, we just had a lot of opportunities at the plate on offense that we didn't take advantage of, and that's what happens. You come out with two losses and two big losses at this point in the season with us, but you know, you got to try and move on and build from that and know that we have to show up every day ready to go. And, you know, I'll give my guys some credit that day. They worked extremely hard to get our field ready to play that day. We got out to the ballpark 2 hours before game time and had a major water break on the infield. And I don't know if anybody's ever had to deal with hauling dirt in and out of a place like that with wheelbarrows by hand because we couldn't get any tractor equipment in there because of the water, the amount of water and how soft everything was. But, you know, my 95 degrees and, you know, kids show up ready to get ready to play and you tell them, hey, get the wheelbarrows, rakes, and shovels. We got a ton of dirt to get out of here. And they did a great job, and no excuses on playing the game itself, but I do want to, you know, let my team know how much I appreciate their effort that day to get our park ready to play because we had a team traveling down here and, you know, didn't want to have to turn them away and whatnot. So we got it ready to play. And, you know, we looked a little bit tired, but, again, we had our opportunities and just we hit a lot of baseballs right at Pleasant Grove that day and hit them hard, and they made the plays. And I give them credit for playing the game the right way and not making errors and then hitting the ball themselves when they had opportunities. So, really, it was two really good baseball games. Just unfortunate for us, we came out on the losing end of both of them.
You lose the first game 4-1, yet Cody Lowe was fantastic for you guys at the plate. Just a home run shy of the cycle. He gets a triple, a double, and a single in three at-bats. And scored the lone run for you guys. Unfortunately, it's not as if Pleasant Grove actually out-hit you guys tremendously in this game either. They just took advantage of their opportunities.
Yeah, like I said, they just when they had guys on second or third, they got a base hit. And, you know, we just didn't. Our base hits came when nobody was on base. And, you know, and they made a couple of great defensive plays. They threw us out at the plate in the first inning. To keep a scoreless game. I mean, but like you said, you know, they didn't really out-hit us. Maybe hit one hit or two hits, but just took more advantage of their hits and put runs on the board, and we didn't. But, yeah, Cody was tremendous that day. You know, Cody's been up and down. I get after him a lot because he's such a talented young man. Day in and day out, I look at him and think he could go on to play at the next level if he really wanted to. And I just don't know if that's what he wants to do. But when he comes to play, you know, he's as good as anybody and can play multiple positions for us, but swings the bat extremely well. And, you know, that was a day that he had, and I would like to see him continue to have days like that every day. And just be a little bit more consistent with how he shows up to play. And you know, because it's big for our team. When he hits the ball well like that, usually we're in a position where we score a lot of runs, and we just weren't in that position on that particular day. But, yeah, Cody had a great day.
If we move over to the defensive side of the field, in the second game, Adrian Sanchez nearly goes a complete game for you guys. One of the things I've noticed about Adrian is as the season goes on, and I think this was the same for the high school year, if I can remember correctly as well, his stamina doesn't seem to be a problem.
No, Adrian actually gets a little stronger as the game goes. He had a rough outing at St. George last week when we were down there, was just leaving the ball up and was pitching from behind and really got hit with a lot of runs in that particular game. And you know, I kind of got after him before we started the other day. He says, look, you got to work on top. You know, you can't pitch from behind. You know, Adrian's not an overpowering pitcher. He's not going to blow a lot of fastballs by you, but he sets you up so well with his stuff that if he's ahead of you in the count, he's going to be real successful. And when Adrian gets in trouble is when he's behind and has to throw the fastball over the middle of the plate so we're not walking people. And that's where he got hurt the other day. With the few runs that he did give up, you know, he was behind in the count and laid the fastball over the middle of the plate and got hit pretty hard in the gap, and they scored some runs. But other than that, Adrian was, you know, back on an A-game performance on the pitcher's mound. Like you said, you know, I probably could have let him finish the game with no doubt. We just thought, you know, why let him go anymore? We're down, you know, four or five runs. There's no reason to leave him out there to finish an inning. But, you know, Braxton Bennett came in, I think, got one or two outs, you know, to finish off the game. But Adrian by far could have just finished the game. He was feeling good. But, you know, he did a great job again for us. Unfortunately, he just didn't put any runs up. I thought Zach Bradley pitched a great game in the first game. You know, we just didn't get runs for him. And, you know, Zach was feeling under the weather. He was sick. And for him to go out and have the performance he did in a hot day like that, I mean, I give him, you know, a pat on the back also. I thought he did a tremendous job. We just didn't score runs for either one of them. And, you know, it's unfortunate you waste a great pitching performance by your guys and not score runs. You like to have great pitching and great hitting all at the same time. That usually means a victory, and we just didn't get that done that day.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jeff Cincinnatus as we talk Helper American Legion Baseball. Coach, you guys will return to the field tomorrow. You'll take on Dixie in doubleheader action. Only one of those games, though, will count towards the league itself. And then after that, you guys play a lot of baseball in a short period of time after the 4th of July moratorium.
Yeah. Tomorrow, like you said, doubleheader at Helper, 6 and 8 p.m. with Dixie. Really good baseball team. We were fortunate to go down there and beat them last week at their place. Temperature, I think, at game time was 113 degrees in St. George when we played them. But the guys stuck it out. We came back, scored a lot of runs late in the ball game, come out of there with a league victory. They're coming into town tomorrow. You know, and I'm sure looking to get back at us for stealing one away from them at their place. So we got those two games, and then, like you said, the whole next week is a moratorium period for high school athletics with no high school athletics whatsoever, football, baseball, basketball, you name it. It's a week off for the kids for the summer, which is a great time for them to get some vacation time in with their family. So we'll give the kids the entire week off, no practice, no interaction with coaches whatsoever. And then come back the following week, and it's a busy week for us. We're actually doing some makeup games that got moved around from earlier in the year. I believe on the 11th, we're going to go to Vernal, play them a doubleheader. They're playing extremely well in our league right now, so those are going to be two tough games on the road. We'll make up a game with Roosevelt that we didn't play here when they came earlier in the year. I believe on the 13th it is. And then we go down to Sevier to play them on the 14th of that week. So five games in that week. That's going to be a tough week for us. Sevier's playing really good baseball. As a matter of fact, they're in first place in our league right now. And they're doing a good job, a team combined of South Sevier and Richfield kids, and they're really playing well. So that's going to be a tough week for us that week. And then the following week, we finish up with Price here at home in two league games, and then we start our first round of our state tournament here. So the summer's rapidly coming to a close, Jordan, and it's just kind of flown by us here. And, you know, baseball season, once again, is going to be coming to an end here within the next little bit. But I'm proud of where our guys are at. We're continuing to work hard every day and get better. Our younger group, I do have freshmen, sophomores, and a few juniors playing in that perfect game league that we've mentioned before. And, you know, they're getting some quality time. They're struggling a little bit with wins and losses, but I think at that age level we try and gauge, you know, just like at the older level, are we getting better or not? It's not so much about wins and losses. Although I hate losing, I want to win every game we play, but realistically it's our guys advancing. Are they getting better? Are they working hard? Are they being coachable? Are they doing all the things necessary to make us a good high school program next year? And that's kind of what I've been preaching to that young group is stay with it, be coachable, learn from our mistakes, and just get better. And if they do those things, they should start winning some games. But, you know, it's a struggle right now for them. They're playing some big schools. You know, up from the Utah Valley area. Last night they had Orem here at home, and, you know, they struggled a little bit, but I thought they battled hard, and, you know, a few hits here and there, they would have come out on top of both those games. So it's fun to watch our guys. They're getting a handful of baseball in right now. They're busy. It's a busy time. Obviously, we've had the Cal Ripken group here all week, so we've had a ton of baseball in our area, which, you know, we've said it before, Carbon County, we believe we're a baseball area, and that's what we do here, and, you know, this week has been a perfect example of that. We've had baseball going on everywhere. I've seen some Cal Ripken players and coaches at our game the other night coming to catch a game after they were done playing, so that's been a positive thing. And, you know, it's just it's a great time to be a baseball player in our area right now. But it is coming to a close. It's amazing how fast it goes by, and, you know, we'll be in here talking about state tournament, and then before long we'll be in here talking about high school ball. So, you know, just want to invite everybody out to keep an eye on the schedule. I know you got it posted on the website of when we're playing at home and what times, and we'll try and keep people updated as best we can so we can get you out to watch a game and help her and support our group.
Coach, it's always fun to get you in here. You mentioned the Cal Ripken, and then you also mentioned the Legion Bowl. I think it is important to point this out. It's a little bit off topic, but, boy, we got some beautiful facilities for baseball in this area, don't we?
Yeah, you know, we do. We need more of them. I'm going to be the first one to step up and say, you know, we need more baseball area, you know, facilities in our area. It's tough. I mean, I want to thank, the fairgrounds, the Carbon County Rec, for letting, you know, I know they've been using those fields out there for this Cal Ripken, and, you know, they're not necessarily a baseball field. You know, we need a complex of baseball fields. You know, I'm working hard right now with the school district, putting a plan together for two baseball fields at the high school. Obviously, we haven't been able to use our high school facility for 3 years now, which is tough on us. Like I said, we say we're a baseball community. We believe it. We work hard to be one. We need to have baseball facilities here. You know, our Little League fields right now, yeah, they're awesome. People do spend a lot of time and work on them. You know, I had numerous phone calls from the city last year wanting to know how we can upgrade our baseball fields and get them ready for this particular tournament we're hosting now. And so, you know, I want to applaud the people who have been involved with getting those facilities ready to play on, taking care of them, and make people understand it's important to continue to take care of those facilities, you know, even after this weekend and moving forward. It's not easy. You know, we spend numerous hours at the ballpark and helper, you know, just watering and picking weeds and doing things to get the park to look the way it looks. And it's not easy work, but, you know, when you get a lot of help to do it, it makes it a little easier. But, again, yeah, I hope that the Cal Ripken group this week has had a great time here playing on our facilities, and, you know, hopefully we can keep doing that in the future.
Coach, always fun to talk with you. I know we'll catch up again real soon.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Helper American Legion Baseball Squad and also the Carbon Dinos. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we have Major League Baseball up on tap. You know, we're about 10 days away from the All-Star game, All-Star break. It's not that far off. And this is when you really start to see everyone take an interest in Major League Baseball. We'll move over. A great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein, will join us right after this.
Emery Telecom's new E-Fiber Internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable Internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic Internet available through Emery Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable Internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with E-Fiber. Let Emery Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
This is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback. The kid
is back, back on track in. Everybody. We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. We are going to talk some Major League Baseball. You know, we're not that far off from the All-Star break, the All-Star game, and the trade deadline, everything that really starts involving the fringe and casual fan into the game of baseball. And we've had some very interesting races so far throughout the divisions. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Steve Bordstein, great friend of the show from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports. Steve, great to get you on today. Thank you.
Appreciate the time very much. Thank you.
It's a fun time for baseball. I know you love baseball just like I do, so if you start looking at the standings, you're starting to see teams separate themselves from the pack. And we'll begin in our favorite division, the National League West, where the Dodgers are now in a dead heat race with the Arizona Diamondbacks, but we have watched the Colorado Rockies fall off pace just a bit. In fact, they have lost a 7 consecutive games, Steve. And then you go even further down and you see the San Francisco Giants, who are 32 games under 500. So right now, the National League West has been a little bit of a surprise, to say the least, this year.
No question. I mean, Arizona, look, Zach Greinke has been out of his mind this season, which is a complete reversal from last season when he struggled at home. I think he was 5-5 last year. He's already off to a 5-0 start now this season for the Diamondbacks. And, you know, they're beginning timely hitting. They're hitting the ball well. They're pitching well. They're hanging in there. You mentioned the Rockies kind of falling off right now. I think there was always that sense of when the Rockies were finally going to tail off. And clearly, it starts and ends with their bullpen. They're starting pitching has been surprisingly very good, I think, this season, but it's been their bullpen that's been a real, real pain for them. What is interesting, though, is that, you know, we're at the halfway point, basically, right now in the season, and they've already played a lot more road games. They have home games this season, so maybe that'll help them in the second half of the season. I think Colorado will fall off here. I think it's going to be the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks that'll battle it out for that division, but I've been very impressed with what I've seen from the Dodgers this year. They've been able to overcome some of the little stymie injuries that normally slow up a team, but they've been able to get good help from off the bench. They've been able to get some good help from their starting pitching. Alex Wood's been a revelation, I think, for the Dodgers this year. But they, you know, they're going to have to make a big move, like you mentioned before, the trade deadline. If they have any intention of getting past the Nationals this year.
Well, I agree with that, and some of the other talk around Major League Baseball as far as the Rockies go, and we were just waiting for them to tail off. I've been waiting for the Chicago Cubs to get things right. And, Steve, now that we're close to 80 games into the season, I got to be honest with you, I don't know if they ever do find their old groove. I'm looking at this Cubs roster, and I'm thinking maybe they are what they are this year, and that's a team that probably wins the Central just because I don't have a whole lot of faith in Milwaukee. I think the Cardinals are still a step or two behind. The Pirates and the Reds, I mean, they are what they are. They're two teams under 500. At what point in time do the Cubs come back and take control of the Central? Not just take the lead, but take control.
Well, I think a lot of it's going to start and end with the pitching right now. Look, you had a really bad situation last night where Miguel Montero was calling out Jake Arrieta, seven stolen bases off them last night. Look, they've got really good pitching, but their pitching comes with this sort of like wink-wink, nudge-nudge policy of don't ask them to do anything else but pitch. You know, don't ask Jake Arrieta to quicken his release. Don't ask, don't ask John Lester to do anything. But, you know, God forbid he has to field a ball. I mean, that's one of the things I've always wondered about the Cubs is, you know, they're a bit, and I hate to use this term, they're a bit of a Teflon champion. And now we're seeing, you know, Kyle Schwarber didn't have good numbers. Then they were putting Anthony Rizzo into the lineup spot. Then they were taking him out of the leadoff lineup spot. Make a decision. And I think this is going to be a real test for Joe Maddon to determine, like, what does this team want to be? Clearly they have a target on their back. And I don't know if that's a position right now that they're very comfortable with.
Very interesting scenario for Chicago. And again, I talk about teams taking control of divisions. Washington's the only team in the National League that has control. I mean, the East has not been good. In fact, there's only one team over the 500 mark, and that is Washington. They hold an 8.5 game lead over the Braves. The Mets are a dumpster fire. The Phillies are just terrible. You look at the Marlins, to me, they've been a little bit of a disappointment, Steve. Atlanta's floating around the 500 mark. But again, there's Washington, and then there is everyone else in the National League East.
Oh, no question. And the Nationals have gotten it done. Again, really timely pitching. You look at the the runs against stat. That's always a big stat for me. Look, clearly the two best teams right now in the National League in that number are the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. You see that. You can see that with their pitching. You see that with the number of runs against. The Dodgers have only given up 272 runs against, Diamondbacks 297. And then it's a long way back to the fourth best team, and that's the Washington Nationals. You mentioned the National League Central. The team that I keep waiting to have them erupt is St. Louis. And we say this every single year about the St. Louis Cardinals. They lay dormant there for a little while and then they make their run. And what I've seen from St. Louis of late is this is a team that I think is going to make that run. I think they're going to give the Cubs a big challenge in that National League Central. As far as the East is concerned, no, the entire National League East belongs to the Washington Nationals. And at some point in time, that brings the question that always comes up with the Nationals is, if they run away with this division, when do they start resting starters? When do they start resting pitchers? And why? Because they seem to never be able to do this the right way. We remember a couple of years ago when they rested one of their top starters, and then what happened in the postseason? He was terrible. Then they waited a little bit too long to rest Max Scherzer, and he came back terrible. It's always a thing with the Nationals. Like, Dusty Baker doesn't know how to manage that rotation to get them into the postseason. So I'm curious about the Nationals. I agree they're going to run away with that division, but boy, I just don't trust them as far as what they do with their rotation second half, late in the second half of the season.
Again, being joined right now by Steve Bortstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, so we just quickly went over the National League, and with that being said, two, I believe, coveted pitchers that should be available at the deadline. I'm not saying they're going to get moved, but two guys that should be available at the deadline would be Johnny Cueto in San Francisco. I believe the Giants are going to be huge sellers once we get to the trade deadline. And also, I believe it's time for the Mets to break up their pitching rotation and start from scratch, which means Jacob DeGrom should be available as well at the trade deadline. Your thoughts?
I would be more inclined on Johnny Cueto than I would be on Jacob DeGrom. And here's why. We've seen the Noah Syndergaard injury. We've seen the Matt Harvey injury. Now we've got Robert Gesselman hurting his hamstring. I don't know if I want anybody on that Mets rotation right now. I don't know if I want a single guy from that Mets rotation just because, for whatever reason, they have seemingly found an injury bug this year. And I'm a little curious as to what's going on with that. They even had one of their own broadcasters, Ron Darling, I think it was, last night, during the Mets game, questioning some of the training regimen throughout the Mets organization. So I agree with you. Those are two very good names. Johnny Cueto certainly – World Series experience. I wouldn't mind that if I'm a Dodger fan right now. But I just worry a little bit about Jacob deGrom that I wouldn't necessarily want to go that direction because I don't know what's wrong with that Mets rotation. Again, injuries to Syndergaard, injuries to Harvey. Now you got Selman. I don't like the idea of just jumping on a team's pitching staff because that's a big name. Look at what's around them right now, and I think there's a bigger issue there with the Mets.
If we step away from pitching, I think the biggest name in the National League surrounding the trade deadline, again, it may not be a sexy name because he plays for Cincinnati, but if you have been following baseball this year, Zach Cozart has been unreal for the Reds. He's batting .320. He's got a .404 OBP. He's slugging around .560. He has been one of the very little bright spots next to Joey Votto in the Cincinnati Reds organization. Zach Cozart is a name that is going to pick up a lot of attention, I think, here in the next couple of weeks, and I would be stunned to see this guy on Cincinnati once we get into August. I'd be shocked.
No, I definitely agree with that. And again, you know, hitting .320 right now, slugging percentage of over .560. He's a guy who, like you said, he could be, you know, a very coveted name. And what I like about what I've seen from him so far this season is, as opposed to last year, he's able to drag out pitchers. That was something he didn't do a lot last year. He swung early in at bats. I think what I've seen from him more than anything else has been the idea that he has been more patient at the plate. I think Joey Votto's helped him in that regard, but I agree with you. I don't think he's around there. Talented shortstop, that's a need for any team, you know, heading into the postseason. Young player, so I think that's definitely a guy who I think is going to be coveted. And I almost wonder if he's not more suited to being an American League guy. We're talking about, you know, where teams are right now as far as standings are concerned. I'll tell you where he would fit really well if he does get moved this season. How about in Boston? I think he would fit very well there. I think he'd fit well in Cleveland. Minnesota, that's a fun race right over the American League. I know we'll get there in a moment right now, but you look at a guy like that, he's a great DH guy because he can play, because you don't need him in defense if you're Boston. You don't need him defense if you're Cleveland, but you need that bat. You need someone who's going to be able to drag out pitchers, and that's going to be essential in the postseason.
Let's move to the American League. I did talk about this team a little bit earlier in the week, the Houston Astros. 52 wins already. I mean, they're on pace to really run away with the American League in general. And we're talking about a team that has done this without their ace in Dallas Keuchel, who's been phenomenal on the mound so far this season. Right now, the clear-cut favorite in the American League has to be Houston. And, Steve, I want to point back to an interview. I hate to be the I-told-you-so guy. There's no worse person in sports talk radio than the I-told-you-so guy. But both you and I were high on Houston when we did our season preview at the beginning of the year. And they have surpassed everybody's expectations.
No question. I mean, you and I, like you said, I don't mind being the I told you so guy. I'll happily wear that hat. I was high on this team from the beginning, and you and I both said it came down to Dallas Keuchel. If he was going to be able to recover and return to the form we saw from him in 2015, then I thought it was going to be that kind of year for Houston. And now it's not only been that, but it's been the play of Correa. It's been the play of Altuve, and they have clearly stepped up to the plate right now. And I think also it's a large part of it's also due to the absolute disappointment of the Seattle Mariners this year. I mean, I was expecting a lot from them. I thought they'd make a race, but I wasn't overwhelmed with Texas. I still remain underwhelmed by the Anaheim Angels, who I will still refer to as the Anaheim Angels, because if you've ever lived in Los Angeles, Anaheim wants nothing to do with L.A., and L.A. wants nothing to do with Anaheim. They don't get to call themselves the Los Angeles Angels.
Thank you.
Sorry, this is personal.
No, thing, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you did.
I'm a little disappointed in what Seattle's done, and I still think they're going to make some kind of a run, but I think it's too little too late right now. Houston's a runaway in that division, and I think they're clearly the best team in the American League.
The East is really close front to back. I mean, Toronto, who got off to a terrible start, they're now just four games under the 500 mark. Baltimore's at 500. You got the Reds and the Red Sox, and the Yankees and the Rays. I mean, they're so close to each other. We're talking about a 2-3 game stretch between those three squads. The Central front to back, again, it's very competitive. Although the White Sox are 10 games under 500, they're still within striking distance of the division. So I don't know that the trade deadline and buyers and sellers, Steve, in the American League is as clean-cut as it is in the National League. I will say, however, Jose Quintana from the White Sox would be the most coveted person that I could logically see being thrown out there as a seller at the deadline. I mean, if you could land Quintana, I think you're grabbing a legitimate 2 or 3 for a team that's a competitor right now, a legitimate contender for a World Series.
No question. And that's going to be the key going forward. If you're Boston, if you're the Yankees right now, I still have questions about the Yankees and what they're able to do down the stretch here. I think their pitching rotation's got some issues. I think Tampa Bay is going to make a big run in the second half of the season. You're right. Quintana does add a lot to the table here for any team right now, if you're Boston, if you're the Yankees. I'm still fascinated by the American League Central Division because the two teams that currently lead that division currently have sub 500 records at home. Cleveland and Minnesota are still below 500 at home this year, which is stunning when you think about, you know, their seasons right now. I still look at a team like Kansas City. I still think their potential is to make a run here, but it'll be fascinating to see how these trade deadline moves go coming forward here and how much talk there is about these guys with the All-Star break coming up.
Steve Bordstein, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. And the most important thing, Steve, at this point in time, Puig is still our friend.
Boy, it's on a tether, isn't it? I want him to succeed. I do. You know, I want him to succeed, but I also don't want him getting distracted. And if you're Yoenis Cespedes, if you're Wilmer Flores, you know you can distract Yasiel Puig. And that's what's going to be the problem going forward here is he's got a – I don't care if he flips off fans in Cleveland. I don't care. I don't care if he stands and looks at a home run for a half an hour. I don't, because I hate the unwritten rule thing. I hate the idea that unwritten rules or what guides everyone. I don't care. I don't want him to be distracted by the unwritten rules. Do your job. Put blinkers on around everyone else not wearing a Dodger uniform and just go out and hit home runs and make great catches and great throws in the outfield. That's the problem. Is it's not so much the antics. It's the reaction that he gives to everyone else who knows they can get to him because he's a kid. He's an excitable kid. And what do excitable kids do? Squirrel, squirrel. They look at everything. Right. Stop looking around. Just do your thing and let everyone else be angry at you because of it. He's a very talented player, but he's got some maturity issues to work out, and that starts with just ignoring the noise on the outside. As they say, as Kevin Costner's character, Billy Chappell, says in For Love of the Game, clear the mechanism. Don't think about anything else. Just do your job.
Well, if somebody at the beginning of the year would have told me that Puig would have, he'd be number two in the Dodgers in home runs, he'd be number two in RBIs, I'd be fairly excited. And then not to mention, he's second in walks and he's second in total bases. Offensively, aside from the 251 average, which to me is a little bit underwhelming because I expected him to be around the 270, 275 mark this year, he's been pretty consistent offensively for this team.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, he's hitting out of the 7 or 8 spot most nights.
Right.
How many teams have that kind of, you know, low end of the lineup power at the, you know, how many teams can say that, you know, where you can't just walk the 8 guy to get to the pitcher? You can't do that now when Puig's in the lineup. And I think that's a huge factor right there. I love baseball teams that can use the 8, 9, 1 spots in their lineup to generate runs. And you mentioned a moment ago the home run total, the RBI total. I mean, if you're able to get that kind of production from 8, 9, 1, that to me is phenomenal. So I again, Puig is our friend. Puig just needs to be himself. Just let everyone else be angry at you because you're being yourself. I don't mind, like I said, I don't mind the home run stare. I don't mind the 32-second home run trot. And by the way, whose bad part-time job is it to sit there with a stopwatch and clock how long it takes someone to run the bases after hitting a home run? Like, I want that job where that's the only thing I have to do is figure out how long it takes to run the bases. And for the person who made a big deal of the fact that it took 32 seconds for Puig to round the bases against the Mets the other night, how many seconds would have been taken off of that if Puig doesn't get distracted by Wilmer Flores yelling at him at first base?
Definitely. Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
First Sports airs weekday mornings, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. You can listen to it online through the iHeartRadio app at our website at foxsports1340.com. You can also listen to the Fast Track. That's our nationally syndicated horse racing show. Also goes through the iHeartRadio app. That airs every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can follow me on Twitter at fox1340am. We update our website constantly with tons of great stuff. We do a national national syndicated show with guests from all around the country. Jordan is a regular player on our show, especially covering the NBA and college sports. So we appreciate him very, very much, and certainly looking forward to the upcoming college and pro football seasons. And going to be a fun summer, I think. It's going to be a lot of fun as we get ready, as we get continuing on with Major League Baseball.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you again for the time.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Castle Country Focus. Mornings between 7 and 10 on News Talk. 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. KOAL.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Whether you're with coworkers, family, or friends, going to lunch is always a battle between appetites.
Where should we go?
You decide. I always decide.
On and on until everyone's starving. Big Mo's Eatery is always the right answer for lunch, no matter the argument. Big Mo's salads are refreshing and full of flavor. Order a juicy half-pound burger and fresh-cut fries, and you'll be full all day. For the indecisive, try a turkey bacon avocado or savory French dip. Win the lunch spot battle every time by choosing Big Mo's Eatery and Price.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family. The experienced team of providers at Emory Medical Center live right here in the community and take pride in providing high-quality, compassionate care to you and your family. They offer the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work, so that you can have answers quickly. It's high-quality health care at one convenient location. To make an appointment for you or a loved one, call 381-2305.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 7:50 a.m. KOAL.
So I came to the grave.
Back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. A lot of baseball talk. A lot of baseball talk. Do not forget, coming up at 7 o'clock, brought to you by Pine Top Medical and Dr. Larson, we will have the 11-year-old championship tournament contest. The Carbon Dinos are going to be a part of that. We're still waiting to see who they will play, but you'll be able to listen to it live right here on KOAL beginning at 7 o'clock, and you can also watch the game at KOALITV.com. Now, before we end, Travis, we talked about the Clippers at the beginning of the show. Blake Griffin meeting with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, that's a good possibility that he ends up not back with the Clippers. So I think the Suns, I think that's a great fit for him, actually. Phoenix tried to get LaMarcus Aldridge last year, didn't pan out. So now you turn your focus this year to Blake Griffin.
To me, I want to see Blake in OKC. I think the idea of him playing with Russell Westbrook, not to mention Steven Adams down low and whatever it is you do with Enes Kanter in the next couple of years, to me, that's the place where I would like to see Blake Griffin go. But I'm not hearing rumblings on that. Phoenix, a legitimate landing spot. I don't know if teams are using Phoenix as leverage. Players, excuse me, are using Phoenix as leverage. Seems like a lot of marquee free agents have been deciding between like their team and Phoenix over the last couple of years. I don't know if it's a leverage play. Not a bad place to live. They got a lot of young talent. I love Marquise Chris. Everybody loves Devin Booker. Look at what the kid did last year. Eric Bledsoe. It's an exciting team. If they could land Blake Griffin, maybe they're a little bit closer than I think.
Yeah, put you in that 8-7 seed playoff hunt type of team. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Phoenix, we've seen last year LaMarcus used his leverage, so you might be right on the leverage thing.
Maybe
though.
So. Phoenix is always the team that gets brought up when we're talking about free agents on the West Coast. So I don't know. You know, typically there for a while it was the Lakers. Maybe we see the Clippers become that team. I don't know. Now it just seems like it's Phoenix. Everyone is using Phoenix, I think, as leverage. We're out of time on this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. Again, I got to thank Coach Cincinnatus and also Steve Bordstein for taking out the time to join us. Tomorrow, more baseball talk. Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, pitched a few seasons with the San Francisco Giants, and now he works with NBC Sports Bay Area. He'll join us on the show, and we'll talk more Major League Baseball. It's that time of the year as we wrap up the month of June tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.
You're listening to News Talk 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. KOAL, Price, and translator K259 CM Price.